That was Psalms chapter 39 for a passage of scripture this morning. I want to look at a number of verses here. My mind was drawn to this song about a month or so ago when Kirvin led it here and made some comments on it. And I started to think about it as I prepared for going to Mississippi and sharing with some youth. I'd like to use the title of the song, or at least part of it, for a title for my message this morning. Muse, O My Soul. I used this song as a theme song last weekend down in Mississippi. And if you thought about the words that we sang, there's a tremendous message in this song. And I'd like to just consider a few of those phrases here this morning in our message. Let's read Psalms 39, verse 1 through 7. The Psalm of David. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in vain. Show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. As I thought about this song, I went to these verses, and I was just blessed by what David had to write here as he mused. Well, what does muse mean? Muse means to become absorbed in thought, especially to think about something carefully and thoroughly. To think deeply about a subject, to think deeply about something. And this is a very elementary thought, but the ability to muse is something that is unique to humans. Dogs, cats, birds do not muse. I don't know what their level of thought process is. They can obviously connect a couple thoughts, but they cannot muse about their end like David is calling us to here in this passage. This past week I was at the Sportsman Show, and there was a dog trainer there with his hunting dogs, and it was amazing what he could train those dogs to do. Very smart dogs, but they cannot muse. And the writer of the song, John D. Martin, some of you probably know him, he wrote this song. He is calling our minds to muse, calling us to something. He wants us to stop and consider a thought. And that thought is the narrow span of time that we have. And if you looked at the bottom of the page, he mentions his son, Jeffrey, who was killed in a car accident at the age of 18. And his son Jeffrey is the one that wrote the tune to this song at the age of 13. And I called Brother John and talked to him about this song before I went down to Mississippi. And he said that Jeffrey sat down at the piano and he played this song exactly as it is written. There was no changes made to the tune. The music was a gift of his. And after his death, his father John wrote these words to the tune that Jeffrey had written. And the words come from a devotional that Jeffrey had given at his church 2 weeks prior to his death. And the title of his devotional was Time. And he shared from Psalms 89, Romans 13, and Ephesians 5, which talk about the brevity of life and how time passes. As we think about time passing and about this young man who wrote the tune to this song, 18 years old, just gone like that, killed in a car accident. We say that's so young, and it does seem very young to us that an 18-year-old person would be gone. But life is short no matter how long it is, isn't it? It passes so quickly, and John D. Martin is reminding us in this song, that time passes so quickly. He's calling us to stop and think deeply. He uses the word muse, which is a very fitting word for this. To think, to become absorbed in thought, to think deeply about a subject, muse, about the narrow span of time that we have. The Bible compares our lives to some very brief things. The Bible compares our life to a shadow in 1 Chronicles. Very short, very passing. When the light moves, the shadow is gone. In Psalm, very familiar, a flower. It grows up in the spring. It's only beautiful for a couple days, maybe a couple weeks, and then it's gone. Psalms also compares our lives to grass. It grows up in the morning. Tomorrow it's cut off, and it withers. It's gone. James compares our life to a vapor, a gas. See it on a cold morning. You see the vapors going up, but by mid-morning, the vapor is gone. James compares our life to that. Psalms also compares our lives to a story that is told. How long does it take to tell a story? Not very long. There are the details, and then it's over. It's past. It also, here in Psalms 39, it talks about our life being only as wide as the width of our hand. Verse 5 of Psalms 39 that we read here. Our lives are short. David said says in Psalms 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, and if reasoned by strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it will soon be cut off, and we fly away. When we look at someone who's maybe 70 or 80 years old, it seems like when you're young, it seems like they're very old. They're very old. And it would take a long time for us to get to that age. We think we have many, many, many years ahead of us. But those years have a way of slipping by, don't they? They just slip by, and they're gone. And you look up, and you realize that you're halfway there, or more than halfway, to that age that you thought was way, way, way down the road. Our days just slip by. The writer of Psalms, David, and also John Dee, are calling us to think about the years that we have. Doesn't matter how long we live, whether it's a baby that takes only a few breaths or the longest living person. Just a quick Google search says that, I think her name is pronounced Jeanine Calment, who lived 122 years and 164 days. That seems like a really, really long time. But it's still just a short time, isn't it? It's just like a vapor, the Bible says. That's why it's important for us here this morning. We are in this little space called time. So we need to stop and think about our lives. What am I doing with the years that I've been given to prepare for eternity? That's really all we're doing here on this earth, is preparing ourselves for, can we say, the real life, the one that's coming? David said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We forget so soon, don't we? We need to be reminded that our days are passing and that we need to consider each one of them. I'd like to pull 3 points from Psalms 39 here that David says, that David lays out for us in how we should muse. The first one is found in the first verse. Take heed. The phrase take heed. Take heed means we're protecting or we're watching out for our ways. There's someone, there's something that is trying to get us. We need to take heed. We need to watch what we're doing. David realized that there was a force of evil that was trying to distract him from musing. And David said, we need to take heed and muse. The devil doesn't want us to muse, does he? He wants to distract us from thinking about what David was bringing out here in this passage. And we'll look at that a little bit more later. I don't know what all distracted David in his life. I'm sure there were things that caught his attention and pulled him aside. But David recognized this need, that I need to be reminded that my days are short, that his days would come to an end. Verse 4 and verse 5, he says, that I might know how frail I am, in verse 4. David knew the human tendency that we have to think of ourselves as being indispensable, that we have lots of time left. David asked God to help him remember how frail he was, how short his life really was. The devil doesn't want us to think deeply about the future. He wants us just to think about the here and now. What feels good today? That's what he wants us to think about. He doesn't want us to think about our end. The ability to muse and think deeply is being lost in our society around us. With the increase of electronic devices, the abilities to have deep thoughts or connect thoughts is being lost. And it's being replaced with shorter and shorter attention spans. People cannot sit down and focus on something for even minutes. If it's more than 30 seconds, you're going to lose them. Some of you children who are in school, what does it mean when we put an A in front of a word? Anybody in school remember? It makes it negative, right? So muse means to think deeply or to ponder or consider. What does this word mean? Anyone?
Be entertained.
Be entertained. Amuse means to not muse, to not think deeply. We recognize that word, don't we? We don't use muse very often. But amuse is very familiar to us. Some other words we might recognize: moral and amoral, or typical and atypical. When we put A in front of it, it gives it a negative context. We know what amuse means. Maybe we're holding a crying baby, and we're trying to amuse the child to make it stop crying. We're trying to get it to forget reality. It wants its mom, but we're holding it. So we get something, we try to distract it. A rattle, a little toy, a book, point out something. We try to amuse that child. We're trying to distract it so that it forgets about the reality that it's hungry or it wants its mom or whatever the reality is that is making it cry. We're trying to amuse that child. There's amusement all around us, isn't there? And it might not be just around us this morning. I know that I am tempted to be amused with the things this world has to offer. So the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, are we being amused instead of musing? Are we musing or being amused? There's not much amusement around us, but there's lots of amusement around us. Last weekend was Super Bowl. 102 million people tuned in to watch that football game. I don't know, there's probably roughly 300 million people in the United States. Think of a third of a nation that is looking at a screen, watching something, being amused. Another quick Google search gave this statistic. In 2019, the average American spent $2,900 at amusement parks. That doesn't include what all is spent on hunting, fishing, ATVs, movies, racing, vacations, and the list could go on and on. Are the things that Americans try to amuse themselves with, try to distract themselves with. Why are people spending so much on amusement? To muse, we focus on reality. That's what David was calling us to focus on here in this Psalms 39. Focus on reality. He said, make me to know my end. Make me to measure my days. And help me to know how frail I am. We want to be distracted from that, don't we? We don't want to focus on these points. Amusement says, don't think about that now. Just think about what feels good now. Enjoy yourself. Life is short. You only live once. Enjoy it to the fullest. I found it interesting what the founders of Answers in Genesis had to say to critics about the mission of the ark. I'm going to read a quote from one of their articles. It says, and I quote, "Instead of being an amusement park, the Ark and Encounter is actually designed to be a amusement park. We want attendees to think deeply about what they will witness at the park. there will certainly be some entertaining aspects to the park, and visitors should enjoy their time, but we want to teach and challenge our guests with the authority of the scripture. We hope the opening of this amusement park will engage the hearts and minds of all who visit and cause them to think deeply, or muse, about one of the central messages of the Ark and the Flood, which is God's grace and mercy in the midst of a much-deserved judgment. Found it interesting that the Ark encounter is specifically calling people to think. It's not to be an entertaining, reality-avoiding experience. It is to make us think about reality. Like David, we need to think about what we are doing. David said, I will take heed to my ways. What am I doing? Is what I am doing today distracting me from thinking about reality? Who I am, where I'm going, what I'm doing? Am I musing or am I being amused? The second point I'd like to pull from David here on how we should muse is found in verse 2. He says, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. David said he was silent and still. That's what hold your peace means. It means to stand still and to wait. Silence is not something that we often experience in our world, is it? It seems like in our age of media, there's always something making noise, something coming at us that is a distraction to us. You see people all the time with headphones in their ears, just listening. If you sit at a traffic light and you look around to the other vehicles, how many people are actually focused on driving? Almost none. They're almost all sitting on a device, listening to something, enjoying some kind of entertainment, watching a video, whatever it is. Distracted driving. Tony talked to us about that a while back. David said that's what he's not going to do. He said, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. There's many good things that we can listen to. Lots of encouraging sermons, encouraging music, and it's so readily available to us. We can listen to all kinds of those good things. But David said here he was going to withhold himself, or how does he say it here? I held my peace even from good. David was just silent. He just shut everything off. He was silent and he mused. Maybe I'm odd, but sometimes I just enjoy riding down the road in silence. I just enjoy that quietness. Nothing on. If no one else is in the vehicle with me, we're not talking. Just driving down the road. And I guess you can call it musing. I'm just sitting there thinking. I enjoy that time. Unfortunately, it's scarce for us. In our fast-paced life, we have things going and we are distracted often, even if we're just driving. But David said, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. It's in this silence that God can speak to us. And God speaks to us in a variety of ways. And often that's in what we hear, God speaks to us. But God speaks to us when we are silent. And silence isn't just with our mouth. It's with our hearts as well. When I open my heart to what God has for me, and I just listen to what God has for me. When we're silent, then we can hear God. And the third thing from David here is that he mused in verse 3. While I was musing, while he was quiet, while he was thinking deeply, there's a fire that began to burn in his heart. There's something that started to well up inside of him. As he was there in that silence, these thoughts came to him. Thoughts about God. Thoughts about who he was. Thoughts about his frailty. Thoughts about his inadequacy. Thoughts about his end. These are thoughts that the devil doesn't want us to think, right? The devil wants to distract us from this. Think about entertainment. Entertainment is much like amusement. Maybe a few slight differences in the definition, but entertainment means amusement or diversion provided especially by performers. A synonym of entertainment would be distraction or diversion. When we are being entertained, the entertainer is holding our attention. We're focused on what he or she is doing. A good entertainer is one that can capture your attention and hold it and keep it. When we are entertained, basically the entertainer is doing the thinking for us. We can just kick ourselves into neutral and watch what the person is doing and allow our thoughts to be led. Think about that in our activities. Whether we are being amused or being entertained, or we're actually doing the think about, or we're actually doing the thinking. Thinking about when we're watching a video. Is the video that I'm watching, is it helping me to escape from reality? When I can see what they're doing on that video and it's impressive, it helps me to escape from the reality that I can't do that. So think about that when watching video. Is this information that is stimulating my thoughts, that is propelling me forward? Or am I simply just sitting back, kicking my mind in neutral, and I'm watching what is on the screen in front of me? Maybe a balance to musing. This musing that we want to encourage this morning, we're not talking about New Age meditation, where I'm out in some for silent place in a particular position, and that's how I am meditating, or that's how I am looking at myself. The point of our musing this morning is to draw our minds to God, not to ourselves. David wasn't in some daydream or trance here. He was in communication with God, and that's what our musing needs to lead us to, is communication with God. His mind was engaged and active, and he was thinking about the realities of life, about who he was and who God is. Well, what are some things we should muse about? Job 37, verse 14 says, "Hearken unto this, O Job." This is Elihu speaking. He says, "Hearken unto this, Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Another word the Bible uses for muse or think is consider. Elihu is telling Job here, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Job was in the middle of this terrible situation. He had lost everything. He had lost all of his livestock, all of his children, all of his dignity had been stripped from him, and his body was covered with boils. On top of that, he had some friends come to see him, and they told him all that he was doing wrong and how God was judging him. But then Elihu gave him this advice, "Consider the wondrous works of God." When we find ourselves in a desperate situation, we do well to take this advice that Elihu gave Job. There's a stabilizing factor in just thinking about what all God has done for us. Consider the wondrous works of God. David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him?" So when we muse, let's think about what all God has done for me, what all God has done for you. It's a very good thing to consider or to muse over. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 for the second thing that we should muse over. Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning there, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, he says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." We need to stop and think about the path that we're on. We need to ask ourselves this question: what path am I on, and will it take me where I want to go? Stop and muse about that. What path am I on? When we load an address in our GPS, we don't just follow it. At least I hope we don't. I hope we look at it and see, is it taking me where I want to go, or is it taking me somewhere else? The path that we are on, will it take me where I want to go? Matthew chapter 7, let's read verse 13 and verse 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Two paths with two different destinations. We get to choose which path. Solomon says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. The straight gate is so narrow that there's only going to be a few people that find it. But the destination brings life. And the other path is wide. It's an easy path. It's easy to walk that path. But the destination of that is death. We need to consider this. The devil wants us to be distracted by all the comforts of the easy road. He wants us to think about all those freedoms over there on the other road that this world has to offer. He doesn't want us to think about that destination. So this morning, let's muse, let's ponder the path that we're on. Is it taking us where we want to go? The third thing we want to think about is back in Psalms 39 again, our mortality. As humans, we tend to think pretty highly of ourselves, don't we? But we need to remember how mortal we really are. We're only just one heartbeat away from death all the time. We're so frail. We breathe in and out. But one day, all of us, unless the Lord comes back first, will draw our last breath, and then we will die, and that will be the end. We sang that song here this morning. What will it be like to know our next step will be heaven's portal? It's a good thing for us to stop and consider. What if my next step was into eternity? We need to think about these things. Turn to Psalms chapter 90, verse 46. Psalm chapter 90, I'm sorry, verse 4 to 6. Psalm 90, 4 to 6. This is a psalm of Moses. He says, talking about God here, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. Talking about us. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. We'd like to think of ourselves a little bit more than this, wouldn't we? We don't like to be maybe compared to grass. It's not a lot of value there in grass clippings. But the Bible compares us to grass. We obviously have worth in our Creator's eyes, but our life is short. We are mortal. We have an end. And that's the fourth thing I'd like to learn from David here in Psalms 39, verse 4. He says to God, make me to know my end. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Satan wants to make sure we don't think about our end. He wants to distract us from this thought of our end. He wants us to think about the good things in life. So he distracts us with those things. But we need to stop and consider our end. And the fifth thing that we want to muse over is the life to come. And David points that out here in verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. David had hope here. David was thinking about a life to come. Wait means to look. David was looking forward to that life that he would have. He was looking for this day. He had his hope in God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a few verses. First Corinthians 15, let's start with verse 19. We need to think about the hope that we have in the life to come. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now skip over to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop reading there. We're looking forward to this mortal putting on immortality, aren't we? We can take off this old flesh and put on the new body that we are promised. This flesh that we always need to be warring with, that we need to be considering and pondering our path and making sure we're doing what God is wanting us to do. We can look forward to a day when we can put that off. And we can live life to its fullest extent. Life in eternal life to its fullest extent. Life in Christ. Life with Christ. We're looking forward to that. That's something for us to consider today as well. To think about life eternal and the blessings that that's going to be. Let's read verse 58 yet here in 1 Corinthians. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're not there yet, are we? We are still in this flesh. So we need to keep our minds focused. We need to be musing on the realities of this life and the realities of a future life and not be distracted by the fake allurements or the fake distractions that the devil has to offer us. I'd like to read Ephesians 5, just in closing. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 20. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning, is that what we're doing? Are we redeeming the time, or are we being amused? Are we being distracted by the things this world has to offer? Are we musing, or are we being amused? Let's pray.